Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses for an audience of entrepreneurs who are building their businesses. And this interview is a little bit different from the ones that I usually do. It's with the guy who's been selling ads here for Mixergy. He actually took this thing that never worked and I never really cared about, selling ads, and turned it into something that matters. It's actually helping to grow the business. And the reason I'm doing this is because, you know, frankly, because I've been listening to a lot of the NPR style podcasts where everything's so polished that like one person says a sentence and then the other person chimes in with a sentence and then the first person comes in with a sentence and then you go to a clip for one sentence and only one sentence only because people's attention span cannot hold more than that and it's got to be edited so perfectly well. And I think about the thing that got me into having conversations, into radio as a kid, podcasting as an adult, it was getting to really know people, not the polished version of them, but the part that where they make mistakes, where they say the word where they actually reveal a little bit of themselves in between the message that they're trying to make. I like getting to know the people I'm listening to. And I thought about it and I said, you know, it's kind of easy to criticize the whole NPR movement, but that doesn't really do me anything. I'm not here to be a critic in this world. I'm here to, like, if I'm criticizing other people, I should do it mentally and as a thought exercise to understand how I could do better. And I realized through that, the way I could do better is to bring you guys who are listening to me into who I am and what's going on here at Mixergy and let you know about some of the struggles that we've had and let you know about some of the wins that we've had. And just kind of show you who we are and how we're operating here. And so as an experiment, I invited Sachit Gupta because he's the guy who sells ads here. Actually, not that. The reason I did is because I just feel so comfortable with Sachit that I feel like I can just experiment with Sachit and completely screw up or figure it out together. And I said, Sachit, if we're going to do this, let's do it with someone who I feel really comfortable with. And so I invited him here to talk about how he took on this whole ad thing that we did, how we evolved as a podcast when it comes to running ads. If you guys have listened to me for a long time, you know in the beginning I was really awkward with the ads. I hated doing ads. Then I got better at it, and we got better at selling ads and figuring out who the advertisers are. Anyway, we're going to talk about all of this. The guest for today is Sachit Gupta. He sells ads here at Mixergy. If you want to know more about him, go check out his website. It's sachitgupta.co, and he's a guy who works with podcasters and influencers to help them grow revenue and grow their audiences. And since he's a guy who sells ads for us, of course, I'm going to read an ad here. And the ads that I'm going to talk about are for HostGator, for hosting websites, and if you're hiring a developer or finance person, TopTal. Sachit, welcome.
Thank you. This is a special kind of circle of Mixergy because I started off listening to Mixergy, then I didn't know what I was doing, and you gave me a shot, like I think like it was 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and I learned everything working for Mixergy, so thank you for that. And now I'm on here, so it's awesome to be here.
Yeah, I love when people who listen come on here. Do you remember when you first suggested that you should take on advertising?
Yeah, actually, I remember the exact email. I think it was an email that we were exchanging, and there was some error that I just discovered that the sponsor and the person who was listening to the notes didn't match. And I remember sending that email to you just being like, hey, just FYI, this doesn't match. And I could sense in your reply that this is something you didn't want to handle. I think then this was around September of 2014. Towards the end of 2014. I had the sense that it's something you wanted to improve, but you didn't want to handle because you wanted to focus on the interviewing aspect.
I didn't even want to improve it. I, for a long time, didn't want to have any ads in here. I thought it kind of polluted the content. And the reason I thought it polluted the content is because it just seemed too small potatoes. It just didn't seem like it was as important as the main message of Mixergy. And then I realized the only way this thing could actually make sense is if it sustains itself. If it's just me investing in it and putting money into it, it's always going to be a hobby. People are going to consider it a hobby. And so I started running ads. Do you know the revenue that we were doing before you took over?
I think at that time, that year, you did 50,000. And I think that was another reason you probably didn't want to deal with it because it wasn't that much revenue. So it was a lot of work. Not much revenue coming
in. Like $1,300 per month for two or three sponsors. And it was just, I didn't want to do it. I only held on to it because it just had a little bit of credibility. But anyway, and then you came on, you said, can I sell it? And the thing that got me to say yes was you said, I could take care of everything. And I know you just really would take care of everything. It wasn't going to come back to me in some weird way. Let's talk about the first sponsor that you got, because I remember what you did to get that sponsor. And the sponsor's with us to this day. We're actually going to read their message. Uh-huh. Do you remember how you got them?
Yeah, the first sponsor was TopTal. I think the big thing with signing TopTal was really, and at that point, I didn't really know what I was doing because I'd never sold sponsorship in the past. All I had was a marketing background, and I understood how companies did marketing. And I remember when I first got on to a call with TopTal, I didn't really, actually, at that point, I don't think I even understood CPMs and all the different metrics that podcasters use to sell ads. And we can talk about how I think a lot of them are now actually BS. But I just got on a call with Brandon, who's the CEO of TopTal, and I wanted to understand how they were advertising and what was their customer acquisition cost, how much they were willing to pay for customers, and all of those different things.
To just learn from them how they were thinking about advertising. It wasn't even a pitch to sell them.
Exactly, because what I think any company who buys ads on podcasts, they're comparing it with their other channels like social media and LinkedIn and all of that, right? So I just wanted to find out how they were buying ads there. And I remember, I won't say the number because I think it's something they don't want to talk about, but I remember when they told me their customer acquisition cost, I was like, that's pretty high. And I think given Mixergy's audience, we could get them at least 5 or 6 customers in a month. And I was also upfront with Brandon, like, I think we can get you 5 or 6 customers. Do you agree with that? And his answer was yes, too, because given the size of Mixergy. And really, I think that's how we came up with the first pricing. We literally took their acquisition cost, multiplied, I think it was by 6 customers, came up with a number and said, does this number work for you for a month of sponsorship? And because that was the time, at that time you were just selling it, you had one ad in each episode, and he ended up saying yes.
I would go a little bit further back in the story, because the fact that you reached out to TopTal wasn't random. It was from a little bit of research that you did.
Yes.
You remember your conversation? Who was it
yes.
with?
So I was talking with Sam Parr of The Hustle, mm-hmm. And when I was just researching sponsorships. And I think one big insight that he gave me that I think we follow to this day is look for companies that have higher acquisition cost. So he gave me the example of recruiting companies because they had, I think at that year, worked with a recruiting company as part of the Hustle Conference, which is an amazing conference. And when I was talking to the TopTal, that's what I remembered, that since they have a higher acquisition cost, talent is expensive to find. So companies are willing to spend way more on that. Because the other thing I also realized is if someone has a good experience with TopTal, they will keep paying TopTal for talent because as any company knows, like talent is the hardest thing to find. So their long-term value, if they are a good service, would be really high for customers. And I think we've also seen from what they've told us that they've had customers that we've sent them that have been there for a long time because they keep buying.
And so they were the first ones. They actually took a shot on us. Largely, they took a shot because the founder was on as a Mixergy interviewee, and I think he happened to get some customers from that and said, all right, let's give it a shot. It seems like it's going to work. And I have to be honest that I've never felt fully comfortable with that because I'm so worried about the credibility of the site. And I'm so worried about the fact that, all right, so we went to someone who was a guest and then it became a sponsor. Does that mean that somewhere in the back of my head, I'm always going to think of every guest as a potential sponsor? And so I know that that's a potential conflict of interest, and still I know myself well enough to know that that's not something that would influence me. What would influence mm-hmm. me more is like inner doubt than I can't wait for this guest to turn into a sponsor.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that you bring up, because I've also seen I've heard of podcasts that are now charging guests, or if someone sponsors, they're more likely to bring them on as a guest. I think one thing we've done well at Mixergy is really kept a separation between who sponsors and who's going to be on. So I tell every sponsor that you're sponsoring, you're spending money. That does not mean that I have any control over who can be an interviewee. Just because I think the moment a podcast separates that line or blurs that line, everything goes downhill. Because as soon as the audience thinks that the interviewees are paying to be on or it's pay for play, it just stops working.
So I think we've learned working together is whenever we go outside of the usual format, things just don't work out. That I mm-hmm. think that's partly my strength and my weakness, that I work really well with systems. And then once we go outside of it, it becomes really tough. So I'm going to be open about one of the sponsors, okay. Baby Bathwater. Mm-hmm. I think I did a pretty, job for them. And the reason I think I did it's a conference. I didn't know that much about it. I heard all the facts about it. Mm-hmm. And then I did the ads. I said I was going to be at the conference. I showed up and then I got it. I got it with baby bathwater. And I don't even know that I could explain it. It's like, how can I tell you why Olivia and I kiss well together? Can I tell you it's because she puts her tongue this way, I put my tongue that way? There's no rational way to say it. It just is. And so I think I could talk about some of my positive experiences with baby bathwater if the ad ran now. But at the time, all I could do was give you the mechanics of it's for entrepreneurs. You're not really going to be saddled into a seat all weekend long. You're going to hang out and ski with people. See, as I said, it sounds kind of, so I think that was an issue. The reason I bring it up in the systems thing is, I said, you know what? I'll find a way to make it up to you. And every time I think about a way to make it up to them, because I feel bad if I don't do a great job. Sometimes I say it in the ads. I don't think I did a great job. I got to make it up to the guests. I think some people in the audience think Andrew's just going, he's saying it, but you know, we want to. And I've just been really bad at finding another way. How do I fit it in? How do I make it work? And that's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah, no. I think it relates to two things. One is like, you're right. Like the event is so unique that I think if you haven't been there, it's hard to describe. Because I remember like the sponsorship they became a sponsor because I had gone to the conference. And I think I explained to you what it was, but also then don't think I did the best job explaining because it's just so hard to tell. And it's also, I think, because everyone has a unique experience depending on who you meet there. And I think you got into conversations that you weren't expecting to get into, which really like that's what affects the experience. And I think what we've also learned is like who are good sponsors for us.
And so events are not good sponsors for us.
Mm-hmm. I think so
why.
Too.
Can we say why events are not good?
Sure. I'm curious like why you think they're not.
I think they're not good for a few reasons. One is it's all at once. Like you have to really get all the sales by a certain time and you can't adjust and improve it. I don't know how TopTal did the first time out, but I know that it took many of our sponsors some time to figure out how to work with our audience. It took me some time to figure out how to talk about them. It took my audience some repetition before they understood that they need TopTal. Mm-hmm. I could say, go sign up for TopTal today. But if you don't need a developer, you can't force yourself to go sign up for TopTal. And if you don't hear me say it several times, you're not going to end up going to TopTal when you finally do need them. Problem with events is that they can't get that repetition. So that's an issue. The other one is they don't have a big budget. They're not,
yes,
like filthy rich. They're always just marginally doing well. Now, baby bathwater could be doing much better, but the margins aren't super great. What else is it? I also feel that there's the, I don't know. I feel like those are the big ones. I was going to say there's also the mom and pop issue. Where if you're spending your own money, you have to make it back right away. But then again, I immediately thought about some of the other sponsors that are thinking mom and pop. They do need to make their money pretty fast, and they do it.
Acuity Scheduling is a good example because they hadn't raised any money or anything. I think the other problem with events is just logistical reasons because people have to fly somewhere. And I think if you look at like the cross-section of Mixergy audience, it's either people sort of who are starting out who buy software products or people who are running big companies. And I think the conferences that we've had aren't the $500 conferences, right? They're the ones that are higher priced. And maybe this is something I just thought actually right now is maybe the cross-section of our audience that is actually a good fit to pay that much. Maybe they aren't flying for that many conferences because they're just busy running their companies. Because it adds that logistical thing in there,
right?
Which we don't have with like something like TopTel or HostGator because you can just go online, sign up, and start working with them.
You know what else? I also think you can't get a sale right away. That we were just talking with the founder of Needles, Justin. Mm-hmm. Justin's so data driven. He first of all, he created a landing page just for our audience. He created a special offer just for our audience. He put our video up. He had someone create a cartoon of me. Anyone can go to check out needles.com/Mixergy. And Needles is missing that last E. Justin, that alone is causing problems with
bots. Definitely.
And one of the things we talked about as we were analyzing the numbers was that there's an issue where I can't say, look, if you're looking to hire an agency, go check out needles.com/Mixergy. People aren't necessarily looking to hire a robo agency to buy their ads, but maybe they're interested in how it works. And so I think it makes more sense to send someone in to investigate further than to go send someone to buy, especially when you only have a few ads. Okay, so I think what we're going to do with events is if they bring me in to speak, they're flying me out, they're paying, whatever it is that they're doing, part of it should be some kind of mention so that I say, I'm going to be speaking at this event. And then that the fact that I'm there is the draw, and the logistics of getting me there is their payment for the promotion, something like mm-hmm. that.
Basically, yeah, and I think even that, like having you there makes a huge difference. As we've seen with another conference we've had as a sponsor, Fireside, last year the ads did really well from what they've told us, and this year it hasn't been as good. And I think partly it could also be that last year we were speaking and people got to hang out with you and just have a lot of fun, and they don't have that this year. So I think there's a bunch of different reasons. I think another reason is a lot of the other software companies that we've had, they have experience doing marketing on other channels, like a lot of experience, like TopTal has spent a lot of money in other places, so has HostGator. So they have that data to look at to see what has worked. And I think for someone who's hasn't really done that much advertising and is now starting, what I found at least is like starting with a podcast is not the best fit. I mean, we've had a lot of companies that have applied to sponsor Mixergy where basically I've told them, we want you to start advertising on other channels so you have some data we can look at before you sponsor a podcast. Because I think for anyone who wants to do marketing, sponsoring a podcast right away with like $5,000 or whatever, and that's the only marketing budget you have, is not a good move.
Yeah, that's much better for like a Facebook ad campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. All right, let's do first ad here. First ad is for a company called HostGator. I'm actually struggling lately talking about HostGator because I think I'm repeating myself over and over. The idea is I wanted to start offering chatbot services, like where someone on my team will build a chatbot for you, or if you want to learn how to build a chatbot, we'll teach you how to build a chatbot. Anyway, that whole thing was this like passion of mine. I'm really high on the idea that in the future, everyone's going to be using chat instead of email, and chat could be much smarter than email because it could answer your questions in real time in an automated way. So I needed a website, and I went to HostGator. I bought the cheapest site they had, one of the cheap plans that they had. We were up and running. Things went well. And then as we were growing, we kept upping it. And I think the last time that we upped the size of our hosting package was when I did a webinar for Copyblogger. And the traffic was just insane from that. I don't think we were down for more than a minute or two. But that alone pissed me off because it was right when I was going live with the webinar. And so I said to Michael, what's going on? If it's HostGator, then that's a problem. And Michael said, it is HostGator, but it's not that they're the problem. It's that you keep wanting to be as cheap as possible. And I said, I don't care. Tell me what I need to do because this is important. It's my relationship with people like Ryan Clark of Copyblogger. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, we could sign up to upgrade our service with HostGator and then things will be okay. And so we did. We paid extra. We even signed a 3-year agreement with them because I'm super cheap. And so we ended up with a lower price. And it was by far the lowest price of any legitimate hosting company that we could have. And since then, we have not had a single issue with them. That's the story I've been telling people. You can start off cheap, get unlimited domain hosting, and just keep experimenting with ideas that you have. And then grow it. And they don't actually talk that up, but they do have really fantastic hosting packages that are not on their site because they will scale with you. My problem with that is that I tell that story a lot. I think I need more case studies from the sponsors, especially people who come back in over and over. And I know that people hear me talk about HostGator a million times and then they feel like they've heard it. And I'm worried mm-hmm. that they're skipping through it. And by the way, let me close out this ad by saying, if you're interested, go to HostGator.com/Mixergy where they give you up to 62% off. And you know what, actually, I'm going to be honest with the audience. I've said this before. I don't think 62% off is the lowest price they have. I do think it's the lowest. I don't think they're giving me the lowest. I think you can find 62% off somewhere else. The truth is, if you go to HostGator.com/Mixergy, you are giving me credit for introducing mm-hmm. you. And it helps me in some ways more than it helps you guys who sign up. Yeah, here's what it does help people, Sachit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to the issue of stores. I'm now listening to this new thing that's happening in podcasts. When a podcaster reads an ad, they now play music underneath the ad. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yes. Some of them are doing that. I think they differentiate when the ad is playing versus every versus the content? I think
it's the Gimlet Media guys. They started doing it, and then everyone else said, oh, look at this. This is great. We play some music underneath. And the reason they do it is to distance themselves from the advertiser, to say, look, this music, this means that we're getting paid. We're getting paid for this, so we don't fully believe it, but here it goes. And I'm so against that, that if you have to distance yourself from the sponsor even a little bit, then he's not the right sponsor for you.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think another interesting part, actually, Casey Neistat's new podcast, they do the ads, and because they're new to podcasting, they're very frank. And one of their podcasters, or their advertiser, Square, who's helping 368, his new thing.
Right.
And I think you can tell like how much you actually appreciate Square for helping him and as a service, because he's very real about it, right? And I think even for us, I mean, Pipedrive is probably the best example where I think one of the reasons the ad has worked so well, and they've told us that we're probably the best podcast, is because you actually like the service. I think if a podcaster doesn't like the service or doesn't really use them, they shouldn't have them as advertisers, because I think we've both seen certain podcasts like have ads where you're thinking, you're like, does he even use the product?
Right. All right, I'm going to be open here. The big one that people clearly do not use is Squarespace. Big podcasters say, hey, go sign up for Squarespace. And then I go look at their website, and it's almost always a WordPress hosted site. And then they'll have some event and they'll say, my event site is on Squarespace. Or they'll say, my kid's birthday website is on Squarespace. But they don't really use Squarespace, because Squarespace is like Fisher-Price. And in some ways, that's great. You need Fisher-Price for something. But when they're talking to their audience of technically sophisticated people who are clearly capable of using WordPress, and then they dumb it down, I feel like they're missing an opportunity to get real. And it's just out of alignment.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think a lot of times people aren't really like you said, like putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, we've had an experience with HostGator. I don't know if we should talk about this.
Let's talk about what happened with HostGator.
Sure. I think there was a point where we were negotiating with them. I think it took 2 months, and we finally got to an agreement. But I think it was the day of or the day before, because I still remember I was in New York. Someone complained about HostGator in the Facebook group. And then a lot of people piled onto that. And I think the one good thing that came out of this, we both collectively decided, we're like, we can't have them as a sponsor, even if they're paying us, if the audience is unhappy. And we told them what happened. And I think to their credit, they could have just been like, okay, we're going to go sponsor another podcast. They actually wanted to learn. They wanted to improve. Remember that we collected all of the Facebook comments that we had received and the messages, put them in a Google Drive, and we sent it to HostGator. And they responded to each comment. And I think we both were surprised, because there was a field that, like, if you send someone a folder with Google Photos, there's actually a field I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
But in there, they responded to each comment.
The description field, which until then, and since then, I've never seen anyone use. But yeah, we sent them every single comment, every single issue that we had over the years. We asked Andrea, my assistant, to go into the email and see every single thing. And we created a Google Doc for each one of them. I don't know why we didn't put it all in one. And they went in and they commented next to each one. And you know what
one more thing I should mention before that, sorry. I think the other thing that also happened was we still weren't sure that whether we wanted to do it or not, right? And I think you came back and you said, look, I want to do this, but I want to test them out myself. And so when you were launching Bot Academy, you said, I'm going to put all of Bot Academy on HostGator, because if I'm recommending them, I want to see how it works, and I want to put my entire business on that. And I think that's credit to you and MixerG, because I don't think most people would do that to test out a sponsor.
You know, so the thing that happened was, at first I was sheepish with them. I didn't talk to them. I didn't tell them why. I just said, it's not a good fit. And maybe you gave them a little bit more insight, but I just said, it's not a good fit, and I was done. And then we just leveled with them and we said, here's the issue. And here are some of the, because I tell people all the time, if you ever have an issue with any sponsor, tell us. What was it? It was... So,
Active Campaign Refund,
right. Somebody who specifically asked for an Active Campaign refund.
And they just replied, by the way, they took care of it. Or they're taking care of it.
And it's just like, some guy, I think his problem, I could solve his problem personally, but I'm trying not to get into it. Mm-hmm. But But for some reason, he has an issue that to him is overwhelming and he can't get it solved. Fine. I invite him and everyone else who has a problem with my sponsors. Let me know. That's how I know that it's not just good for me. It's good for everyone else. And we sent it to the sponsor, and the sponsor took care of it. So we do collect all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we do send it to the sponsor. And that's a big benefit of using our referral code. I love Leo Laporte. He's one of the podcasters I've listened to the longest. I don't think I could email Leo Laporte and say, here's an issue that I've had with your sponsor. Can you please fix it?
And I think to give credit to you that you're actually inviting that, and the team at Mixergy is dealing with that. And to give credit to our sponsors, and I don't know if we've been lucky to have sponsors that do that or all sponsors are doing that, but I think 99% of the time they've helped fix the issue. And they've escalated the problem to whatever level it needs to be.
The number one issue is not even, in my mind, it's not an issue, but I understand how it is for somebody who's experiencing it. They heard me talk about TopCal. They get on a call with TopCal, and TopCal rejects them. And yes. I get that they're upset. Actually, I don't. I can empathize with it, but I don't get it, because if you're not a good fit, I'd rather you hear about it before you pay. I'd rather they say, look, your organization's not big enough. We can't just give you someone who's going to be like, I don't know what it is, but if it's not a good fit, I'd rather they say that. All right, let's see what else. Okay, here's another company that's not a good fit for a sponsor, and it sucks for me, but I get why. I'm so disappointed that Mailshake didn't work out. Here's why I'm disappointed that Mail... Why do you think Mailshake didn't work out?
So I actually emailed Sujan today to ask. So I think we're making an assumption that it didn't work out. It may have not, because I haven't heard from him yet, but... I think there's might be two reasons. One is that there's so many companies that are doing the email stuff now, like YesRare, MixMax, Mailshake, and all the other ones. It's really hard to differentiate which one to use. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so to be clear with anyone who doesn't know what it is, we've all been now at the receiving end of these emails where someone will send over an email to me, for example, saying, hey, I saw that you talked about, you talked about Tuft and Needle. Guess what? We have a mattress company also. Would you mind linking to that? And then if I ignore it because it's stupid, I interview the founder of Tuft & Needle. I'm not just linking to Tuft & Needle randomly. I ignore it. They come back to me an hour later or a day later or 5 days later, and they say, hey, you didn't respond to my email. I just wanted to make sure you got it. And I have to say, come on, stop it. I know that's a stupid way of doing things. The smart way is to still use that same methodology, which is to say, I'm sending out an email to someone who's clearly a good fit, like, hey, Mixergy, I think we should have my founder on as a guest. If Mixergy doesn't respond, automatically fire off a follow-up email saying, hey, you didn't respond. I don't know if you saw it, but my founder's really doing well. And you could send that to a bunch of different bloggers and automate it using software. So we've all been on the receiving end of those bad versions. We've all been on the receiving end of the good ones. Fact of the matter is, it's on the rise because it works. And so I thought, great. Mailshake does it really well. It's so elegant. They help you hunt the right people so that you're not just randomly spraying your email at everyone. Mm-hmm. You load it into their system. You write an email. It goes out individually to each person on the list that they help you make sure is a good list of people. And then if they don't respond, they send a follow-up email. If they do respond, it goes right to you or to your salesperson, and that person can follow up with them. It's beautifully done. You're right that there's other software that does it. I'm concerned that part of it is that Sujin's charging too freaking little. $29 a month for that? How is Sujin going to make money with $29 a month?
I was surprised by the pricing too.
I love Sujin. I think he's going to be hurt that I say this. I think his pricing's stupid because he said, look at this. Actually, it increased. I'm on the Internet Archive. I think when we ran the ads, it was $19 per user per month.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, before I knew about Mailshake, like the year before, I used carb.io, which is from Predictable Revenue. I think I was paying, they did provide more support, but I was paying up to $1,000 a month just because it was useful.
I think actually stupid is not the right way. I think he's just being a little too shy, a little too nice, a little too smiley. And that's Sujin's problem. He's a great marketer, but he likes people a little too much and he cares about being liked a little too much. And so he's charging $19 a month, $20 a month for the software that's all about driving sales. Frankly, if the software is good, it's going to drive enough sales that you'd be willing to pay a few hundred bucks for it. And it is good. I've talked to people who use it. They come over to my house because I complain about Sujin's pricing all the time because I want to do well for him. And they say they use it. And they could afford it. They could totally afford to pay more. He should be charging at least $100 a month. And here's the other problem with charging too little. He's a great marketer. He can't buy ads. So that means that he can't go to Facebook and spend a bunch of money and get customers. He can't come to me and buy ads for me, because at $29 per, what do I have to do? I have to get him like 100 users, 1,000 users per read? I don't know what it is. It's a lot. So that's a problem. And then he also can't offer a big discount if people go to the URL. By the way, all this is like, he's at fault. He needs to do way better with this, I think, with that business model. His product is good. Everybody listening to me should go and take full advantage of it. Everybody should go take full advantage of him. It's like the hotel saying, you know, we're going to charge $50 per room because we want to be nice and we'll make sure it's clean and all that. Go take it. Fairmont Hotel, $50 a night. Go use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before Sujin raises the prices.
What?
Before Sujin raises the prices.
They should raise their prices. But is he related at all to Neil Patel? He is, right?
Yes, I think they're either friends or cousins.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they're cousins.
Yeah, right. They're close in my head. I'm surprised that Neil hasn't just like sat down. And Neil is also really good about smiling and laughing. As he says to you, you're being stupid. Fix this. I've been at the receiving end of that a lot. Neil Patel at one point said, Andrew, just give me the username and password for your site. You're just being too stupid. I'm going to fix it. And he just sat and fixed it one night.
He just changed the price or something else. Right.
All right, but the fact that you're saying that we're not even sure that it didn't work out is interesting, that maybe we need to follow up with him.
I did. I just have to hear back from him. And I think that's something I should have probably followed up earlier. But we'll see what he says back.
It's really good software. I'm impressed. I thought that he bought the site. I went back and I found some tweets. Apparently he said somebody needs to build it, and then someone reached out to him and he ended up with the product. All right, let's talk about the second sponsor for the, this is all about sponsors, but the second one is a company called TopTal. Top is in top of your head, Tal is in talent. By the way, the reason I say it, Sachin, is I think that I talk so fast that you can't understand what I'm saying. Like if I say TopTal, can you understand that I'm saying TopTal?
I think most people wouldn't. I would because I know about the company, but yeah, I don't think most people would. It's funny because I've said that in conversations with people in general. They're like, wait, what? Top what?
Right. So it's easy to spell. It's all that. It's super clear. But I do listen to myself sometimes as I do the TopTal ad and I go, I actually am not clear what I just said there. And I know myself. Mm-hmm. So I went with top as in top of your head, tal as in talent. I used to say top as in top of the mountain. And then I figured, let's make it something that's more like.
I think you also like spelled it out before, right? TopTal.
Yeah, that came from one of my sponsors. I used to in the early days be so bad at reading this that at the end of the ad, I would say, hey, you're a great salesperson. What would you do differently? And uh-huh. There are a couple of people actually who said, how about spelling it out? I don't know what you said. Mm-hmm. All right. I think they're another company that I can actually use some more case studies for. I wonder if we should hire a writer to go out and get some case studies and put some bullet points together for me. Because
I think that could be work. Because we have asked sponsors in the past for case studies. And we've gotten some, but we haven't gotten that many.
Maybe we just need to do the work for them. At this point, we're charging enough that it's worth it. Can we give a? I don't think we should give the exact amount that we charge because the reason I don't want to is because I'm afraid of TopTal. Frankly, Tasso invited me to interview him at a TopTal event, and I remember two things about it. One was I asked about openness and everyone said, yeah, I think, of course we're open. And Tasso gave me this look and he goes, you don't believe in openness. Tasso is one of the founders of TopTal. Mm-hmm. We actually, when someone's super open on their site, we use their numbers to just reverse engineer their business. And then we use that to get better at TopTal. And we're not going to help our competitors do better. And frankly, they've done so well that they've had people like, I think, rip them off. They're very nice about it. Every time I try to get them to get angry about it, like, no, it's okay. We're all learning from each other. But I got to believe they go home going, how did you rip me off? So I remember that. And then the other thing I remember was I asked him a question that was way too personal. I don't even remember what it was. But Tasso is like so serious that if he gives you a little bit of a look, you go, oh man, I'm not even afraid of anyone. I'm afraid of Tasso a little bit. And of Olivia, my wife. All right. They just do stuff so super seriously, which I love because I'm an anal super serious person too. Mm-hmm. So here's what I did with TopTal. hired a developer, hired a designer. One of the best people that I did, that I got from them, was a finance person. So I'm going to look over my books. And he looked over the ad revenue and I was super proud of it. But you remember Jack said, you should talk to Sachit. I said, about what? Sachit's doing a great job. He goes, well, he should be doing more. And I go, how about you talk to Sachit? And Jack says, of course I'll talk to Sachit for you, which I love. I love that they're so serious at TopTal that the people I hire are like super serious too. We're not going to slack off because that's just not our culture. Mm-hmm. So I hired him from him. Do you remember what his advice for you was?
Yeah, we had a whole, I think like a half an hour conversation about all the different ways we could improve ad revenue. I think the cool thing was for me was he just didn't say, hey, I'm the finance guy. This is what the number is. This is what I want you to get it to. What do we do? He came over with ideas too, of things to do. And we discussed them and I think we're almost in the midst of launching one of them, hopefully soon. But
what are some of his ideas?
I don't remember exactly. I can look him up. Some of them were things that we had tried that hadn't worked. I think one big one that we should talk about is, it would be the easiest thing for us to do, but we've both decided not to do, is more sponsors per episode.
Yeah, he said, I like that he pushes me to consider this stuff. I mm-hmm. don't always jump on what he does, but what he suggests, but I find that he's persistent enough that he at least penetrates my routine and gets me to think a little bit differently. So I don't know if we'll have a third ad or not, but I do know that there've been people I've hired that he made me reconsider. I do know that there've been expenses that I didn't think about that he's made me reconsider. And I'm so close to the people I hire. I'm so like close to the expenses that we have that I naturally will say, no, I'm the one who decided it. It makes sense. I thought it through, but he forces me to rethink whether it's still relevant or not. All right. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm bringing this up, guys, is because I've talked about the TopTal has developers. I talked about designers, but I should tell you, if you're looking for finance help, and big businesses use this all the time. They have someone to analyze the way they run their business. They have someone to put spreadsheets together for them because they don't want to do it. Someone to put together presentations for them because they don't want to do it. Well, now because of TopTal, every other business can hire them too. And so if you need them, go check them out. There's a special URL. Top is on top of your head. Tal is in talent. TopTal.com/MixerG. Where you're going to get 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours, in addition to a no-risk trial period of up to 2 weeks. If at the end of the trial period you are not 100% satisfied, you will not be billed. I blow through that, and people say, Andrew, I wish you told me that more clearly before I signed up. Why not? The reason is I don't want you to sign up just because they will reduce the risk and because they're so inexpensive and they give freebies. I want you to sign up because it makes sense. All right, toptal.com/MixerG. All right, so what about that? The idea that I think we need writers to come in, but I've been pretty bad at hiring writers. I feel like we could use a writer to go do your research, go force someone at TopTal to talk to you, and give me some case studies.
I definitely think that's a great idea. Because I think at this point, we've probably sent them so many people that we could just get a number of case studies just from people that MixerG has referred, not just their customers.
Give me like... Here's what we're looking for. 5 stories based on this. The way to tell a story is tell me what they were doing, then some inciting incident happened that made them rethink things, then they failed, then they tried TopTal, and they succeeded, and because of that, we should all learn. Like, give me that structure.
And I think that it would also, I think, because hiring a developer is a thing that people are probably apprehensive about. So when they hear stories of other people from MixerG who've done it and how it's worked for them, that would help for sure. One thing that's really good about them, because I think it kind of like relates to what you said about HostGator, the offer that you mentioned, we're still the only company or the only podcast that has that offer. And I know other podcasters have asked them for the same thing, but so far they haven't given it to anyone. Because I remember when you were talking about HostGator, us being the lowest discount. I think at one point we were we had the best discount from HostGator. But I think what happened was other podcasters went to them and said, we want the discount that MixerG has.
Yeah, you know what? I take it back. We do, but it's like 2% more. So the reason we have up to 62% more is because on their site, they occasionally test up to 60% off. Mm-hmm. Let me see, actually. You know what? Let me take it back. Maybe HostGator. The reason this is important is because you were super aggressive with them for a long time. You said no one's going to go to the URL unless you give them an incentive to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of been shifting to, I'll take responsibility for my sponsors, send me your issues, and I'll forward it over to them as a way of just knowing that the sponsor shouldn't just have the lowest price with us. It can't just be compete on price, but
definitely
by working with Mixergy, our audience will get the best service. And so it makes more sense for them to follow our sponsors. You know, you're right. The, what they call the baby plan on their website is 40% off. On our website, it's 60% off. The the hatchling plan is 60% off on their website. That's the one that's 62% off with us. So, you know, I wonder if sometimes you feel a little bit hurt when I say stuff like, they're not giving us the best prices, but you guys should sign up just because it's me. Do you feel like, Andrew, I fought so hard. We negotiated about this. Andrew, you're not taking my work seriously.
Not really. I think it actually, I agree with it in the sense that like, people shouldn't use these services just because of the price. I think one of it is honestly, they're doing it because that helps you, right? Like they're giving back to what they've learned from you. I think that should probably be the primary reason why people are using the sponsors we recommend, because it does help Mixergy by keeping these sponsors.
I do think that actually. I know that Jason Calacanis forever said at the end of his ads, go support them because they support independent podcasters like this. And I used to think, come on, nobody's listening or doing or taking action because you're a do-gooder. Who cares? Why are you so do-goodery about the way that you, like, why are you saying to the audience, go support them because it's good for the greater good? Our audience doesn't care about that. They're business people. And the truth is that I do think the sponsors do care about that. They obviously care about business. They care about the numbers, but they do care about supporting the podcasts that they like. They care about the people that they like. I think Tasso can shoot me a really hard look at times and say, I don't think ever interviewing me again at another Top Tal event or anywhere else. But at the same time say, I do respect his work and I'm glad that we're supporting it. And I think that matters. All right, here's where we failed. Here's where I failed. Growing the audience has been a nightmare. Just like finding ways to grow it. You're a Facebook ad buyer. You buy Facebook ads professionally for people who I know, for past guests. Can we say who it is? I know that some of them are a little early about.
Yeah, I think we can mention. Actually, they're all on my site now, so we can.
So why don't you?
I've been running ads for Tim.
So you're a little afraid of it too. Tim Ferriss. Here's why we're a little afraid about saying Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss hates the people. I think he's got to hate the people who use his name all the time. A lot of times people who have no connection to him use his name.
And I understand it because I think a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll work with someone for, let's say, a month. And they'll go and say, hey, I worked with this person. I built this business, right? I'm very careful of, even when I mentioned Tim's name, is I came in when Tim was already really successful. And took over a small part of what he does and I did it well, but that's what I do. It's not that I built like this huge thing. So I think a lot of times people will take too much credit for things. So I completely understand that because you've probably seen that, right? Like people start working with you, they don't really do right. much. And next thing you know, they're telling people that they've built your business.
Right. Or they imply it because they're good at implying without fully saying it. All right. So yeah, Tim Ferriss and Seth Godin and others, you bought ads for them and still, by the way, one of the things I respect about Tim Ferriss was how much time he spent on the phone with me talking about you before he even met you. That I thought, that's the way to, no wonder he has, first of all, he's got good people because of his reputation, but number two, he does his homework on people. Anyway, so you buy ads for these people.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Sorry?
Thank you for that.
Of course. Mm-hmm. You buy ads for people, and still, when we went to buy Facebook ads for the podcast, it didn't work. Why not?
I think the biggest problem with podcasting still is primarily most of the audience is coming through iTunes, as we've seen. And any sort of thing that you do to buy ads or bring more listeners, you can create a closed loop to see how it's working. Because with iTunes or with Facebook ads, what we've tested is sending people to the iTunes page. But at that point, we have no idea what's happening, what ads are working or not. The only thing you can crack is cost per click. I think it's something that also is like known in the podcast industry is there's also ways where you can people just juice numbers. So for example, there's players that if you send traffic to, if someone lands on that page and listens for 2 seconds, it counts as a download, which is BS. So I think part of it, I think the biggest reason is probably there's like no way to create a closed loop to see how things are working.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it. If you spend $100 on a Facebook ad that is designed to grow your email list, at the end of the spend, you'll know exactly how many email subscribers you got for that $100. In fact, you'll know it as the spend goes on because they'll pixel your site. With podcasts, there's no way to close the loop. There's no way for us to know. I spend $100. Did I get one subscriber or zero subscribers? Mm-hmm. And you're right. That trick that I want to just emphasize that you said, I know several podcasters have used it. And they all think they're the only ones who do it. They embed the audio on their site. They set it to autoplay. And then it just plays when they send junk traffic to it just so they could beef up their numbers. I used to like for a long time, Peter Kafka of Recode on his podcast used to say, you're lying about your podcast numbers. I'm lying about my podcast numbers. We all agree that we're lying in the same way. And that's the way podcasting works. I wish that more people would say, we don't know.
I don't know if he said that. That's interesting. I think that's also a reason why I think our sponsors have come back, at least as when we've sold them on the ads, we haven't focused on. So in podcasting, the main metric people use is CPM, which is cost per 1,000 downloads. And really, that also doesn't take into account how like people's audiences are so different in terms of quality. But we've never really relied on that. We've always focused on what is the ROI that they want, and then based on our pricing, seeing if that ROI works for them or not. So I think a lot of people, because they'll sell ads to sponsors, and then maybe they're reducing the numbers or maybe they're not, but sponsors aren't getting the ROI. Because I've heard that from a lot of sponsors that have worked with us, where they've sponsored other podcasts with lower CPMs and more downloads than us. But we've given them more ROI.
Yeah, and I think that's been a big thing for you. You've said, look, test it and then see the results. We believe that this will pay for the ad. And then when they start getting hung up on the numbers, we say, we could give you numbers, but the numbers are always going to be meaningless because we could have a lot of people and they're not really mm-hmm. good fit for you. We could have none and they could be. The one type of ad that has worked for us was... Can I say it? It's not weird for me to say it, right? I'm not giving away a state secret.
I don't think so.
Overcast. When Marco Arment started running, started allowing ads in the Overcast podcast app, I started buying ads there. And there he at least tells you how many subscribers you get every time you buy an ad. There are a couple of issues that I have with that. The first is that randomly, I'll get an alert on my watch because I set up a Zap to send an alert to my watch whenever he has a free ad. And whatever I'm doing, I have to stop it and go buy the ad right away. So I'll be with the kids, changing a diaper, hanging out with them, whatever. If an ad comes in, I'm so desperate for podcast advertising, I just stop whatever I'm doing, let the poop fly, and then go buy an ad for Marco and then come back to life. And I've told Marco Arment this, the creator of Overcast, and I don't think he cares. He also does not like running ads, and I think that he's more resentful than I am. I also don't think he likes me. We've talked over the years.
Interesting.
I'm fine with that, but because I think that he needs to be as like picky and persnickety as he is. That's what makes him interesting enough that he would go and roast his own coffee beans. But it means that the one place we can buy ads is not very effective. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. I will say this, another thing that bothers me with the Overcast ads is that when I talked with Jason Harbinger back when he was doing The Art of Charm,
Jordan
showed me, sorry?
Jordan, right?
Yeah, Jordan.
Sorry, you said Jason.
Harbinger, yeah. Not Hard. Yeah. Harbinger is the way to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. He bought the same ads and they were doing better for him because he'd end up being at the top of the Overcast charts and I'm not. Because people would then, I guess, thumbs up or rate his podcast, or maybe you would ask them to do it. So he would buy ads, get those people to rate him, or maybe they just would, and then he would end up at the top of the charts, and as a result of being at the top of the charts, get even more subscribers. And that bummed me out. I wasn't doing that.
I think it's interesting. There's in the book Play Bigger by I think you say his name, Christopher Lockett, where they looked at a lot of like VC companies, and they talked about the category king economics, where the bigger companies always get bigger. I think it was like the biggest companies own 76% of the market. And I think that's going to happen in podcasting too, where like the bigger ones are, just the feedback loops keep going bigger and bigger.
And Sachin, every time I'd hear stats like that, I always saw myself as the bigger one. And I thought that I would be like the number one thing, which is why it bothers me that NPR with their Planet Money is the number one business podcast. I'd like to be there. It bothers me. It rankles me. All right. I've got another episode now. We just kind of scheduled this in between two interviews. I like this, but I want to hear from people what they thought of this. If you have at all any opinion about this, let me know. My email address is just, you know, all my email addresses. I'm going to ask that you use contact@mixergy.com to let me know so that my system can help me get some sanity around the feedback on this. I'll look at every one of them. I'll respond to a bunch of them and I'll internalize and be hurt and upset and fired up about every one of them. So contact@mixergy.com. Let me know. If you want to check out Sachit's site, it's sachitgupta.co. And finally, the two sponsors who made this interview happen are, if you need to hire a developer or designer or finance person the way that I did, go to toptal.com/mixergy. And if you're looking to host your website, go with the company that I go with. It's hostgator.com/mixergy. All right, Sachit. I like this. Hopefully the audience likes it too.
Yeah, I think one more thing to add. I'm curious about this is if there's other podcasters that are listening, if anyone has questions about how we sell ads, I mean, because we talked about the good and the bad. I mean, but I think one thing we didn't mention is we sold out the whole year. We are doing something right. If people have questions about this, because I'm really curious, like how other people are doing it, or if someone's doing differently, like I'd love to hear that too.
Yeah, you know what? I never talk about the upside. I always think we can do such a better job. This is like the thing in my head. But you're right. You sold out the year. We're talking about by July that we're sold for the end of the year. Sponsors who then want to jerk us around and like give us stuff that's crappy and they think that they're kings and gods on earth, we could say, actually, we don't need to take your stuff. We're good.
We just said no to a few today that we can't have you in. But I think, what you said.
All right, guys, I hope this won't be the last time that we do this. Sachit, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.